Thank you for sharing that. And it was lots of verses. Basically, it was a story of God bringing the Israelites out of Egypt. And it's a long story, so there's lots of different verses, and I'm picking and choosing them. And I'll explain where that fits in a little while. But tonight we're talking about the song Waymaker. So bear with me, I'll pick up my notes. So, I've got the first slide. Thank you, Colin. We're talking about God's faithfulness and sovereignty to the Israelites and to us. I was preparing this talk over the last two or three weeks, and last week George spoke, he read some of these verses that Sarah just read out from Exodus. I thought, that's timely. It just fits in really, really nicely. What I'm going to do, I'm going to focus on the chorus of the song. The chorus goes, Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. And what I want to do is try to highlight some areas in the Bible where we can see examples of where God is all of those things. Because what the chorus is saying, it's describing who God is. And was declaring at the very end, my God, that is who you are. So hopefully by the end of this, you'll be encouraged to believe that God is the one who can make us, can get us through this pandemic, get us through whatever situation we are facing. He is the promise keeper. He's the miracle worker. He is the light in our darkness. So, Waymaker. If you look for a picture of a Waymaker, I couldn't find one. If you spell it wrong, if you spell it wrongly, you get a picture of someone stirring moldy cheese in a vat. So I looked up, spelt it correctly, and the dictionary says, a waymaker is one that makes a road, a person that prepares the way for another. We have that person in Jesus. He made a way for us to come to God, and he makes a way. If you look at examples in the Bible, he shut the mouths of the lion for Daniel. He shook the foundation of the prison with Paul and Silas they were locked up in. And as I go through tonight and talk, I'm going to hopefully encourage you, but I'm also going to challenge you, because I'm challenging myself. Because it's easy to think, oh yeah, but where's God done that for me? But I believe if you look back in your life, every one of us here can look back in our lives and see examples of where God has made a way. Some examples of where God has done things for us that no one else could have done. So I'd encourage you, ask yourself that question, where has God made a way for you? Because God doesn't change. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He's gonna make a way for us now. So remember the stuff he's done before, and remember he's going to do it again. He's a miracle worker. In the New Testament, Jesus is recorded as doing over 40 miracles. Walking on water, feeding the 5,000, the 4,000, raising of Lazarus, calming the storm, numerous healings. But that's just the stuff that's been recorded. We are worshiping a God who does miracles, who's in the business of miracles. In the Old Testament, there are over 80 miracles recorded, including a talking donkey, 10 plagues, manna from heaven, the sun and the moon standing still. Look that up in Joshua. Elijah raising a widow's son from the dead. The first person to raise someone from the dead in the Bible was Elijah. There's many, many more miracles. Let's be encouraged by looking at and finding where God is a miracle worker in his word. He's a promise keeper. If you look in the Bible, there are thousands of promises of God to mankind. Apparently, I didn't count them all, but there's over 7,500 promises of God to us. There's too many to list to go through, but here's just some of them. I encourage you to go and search it out for yourself. He promises, I will be with you. He promises, I will protect you. He promises, I will be your strength. He promises, I will answer you. He promises, I will provide for you. He promises, I will give you peace. And he promises that I will always love you. The last time I spoke here was The week after Valentine's Day is a long time ago. I've forgotten how to use the, audio-visual stuff. And I was talking about being loved. It still stands now. God is the God who loves us. There's nothing that can separate us from his love. No matter what we're going through, no matter what trials we're facing, nothing can separate us from his love. And I want to give you another challenge. What has God promised you? Is there something that you believe God has promised you in your life, in your family, or whatever it might be? Hold on to that. Hold on to that. I was, it was just 6 weeks ago that I was ill with COVID-19. I was tested positive, and Ali was tested positive a few days before. We're both recovered, but I'm not fully recovered in terms of I've still got lasting effects after that. And while I was ill, I was thinking, got to a point about a week or 10 days in, I felt really quite poorly, and I kept thinking, am I going to have to go into hospital or something? Because I felt really, really quite breathless. And I hold on to that promise. I believe that God had still had things for me to do. God still had plans for me, plans to prosper me, and he wanted me to do things still. And I held on to that when I was feeling at my lowest, that God had that promise for me. What has he promised you? What has he promised you? Hold on to that. Keep on holding on to that. Even if you don't see it right now, I still don't see a full recovery in my body. I still get a bit breathless, and I still get fatigued after 6 weeks. And I'm not saying that to make you feel sorry for me. I'm just saying that I'm believing that God is going to bring about a full healing in me. I remember in a church we were in a long time ago, a guy stood up to give a testimony. And normally you give a testimony when God has done something really good, don't you? God has done this. God's healed this. God's provided this. And this guy stood up and he said, name this guy called Phil. And it stuck with me because he stood up and said, I'm standing here and I've just been made redundant. I think, whoa, that's not really a very good testimony. But his testimony was that he believed that God was looking after him. He believed that God was going to see him through, that God was going to provide for him. And even though he didn't see the answer right then, he believed that God was going to see him through. That was his testimony. And I thought, that's a good place to be. A good place to be, to trust that God is going to be there and provide for him. And the answer to that, a few weeks later, he did get a job, and he did very, very well. Finally, so we talked about waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. There's so many examples in the Bible of God being a light. In 1 Peter 2, verse 9, it says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. He's called us out of darkness into his light. That's an amazing thing to think about, that he's called us out to be in his light. And Psalm 119, I love this psalm, Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. We have a Facebook group for the evening worship team. We haven't used it for a while because we haven't had much evening worship here for us some time. And when we were setting this up a few years ago now, we didn't quite know where the worship team was going. And I felt shine a light was a good way of describing the groups. The group's called Shine a Light, and it's because God shines a light somehow on the next steps we're meant to take. We all, I don't know about you, but I like to plan ahead. I like to see what's going to happen in the future. I like to know what everything that's going to happen. But it doesn't work that way. Life doesn't work that way. And life in God doesn't always work that way. Sometimes he'll shine a light on the next step you're meant to take. Because we can't handle sometimes all the stuff that's going ahead. But God says he'll shine a light on your next step that you're about to take. Light in the darkness. Even in the very first chapter, the very first verses of the Bible, God says in Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. He spoke into being. He spoke light into being. And there was light. God saw the light was good, and he separated the light from darkness. God is our light. I don't know what darkness you might be facing at the moment. We're all facing the thought of another lockdown, and that could be a darkness to us. But he promises to be our light. He's a way maker, a miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. And I'm going to come back now to the... bear with me, I was going to get a quick drink, so I'm going to get a bit... I'm going to get back to the story that Sarah read out for us. The story from Exodus. And I want to highlight there where God was all of those four things that we've discussed in the chorus, in the song we're looking at. So, first of all, he promised Israel he was going to bring them up out of their misery. He was going to bring them up out of Egypt and take them in to a land flowing with milk and honey. That was his promise. He was a promise keeper. He brought them out. He promised to be a way maker. So, I don't know about you, sometimes I just want to go the way I think that I should go. Ali will tell you this. We have a sat-nav, and sometimes a sat-nav takes you on me. I don't want to go that way. I always want to go. It's not right. The sat-nav's not right. Anybody else agree, recognize that? And so the Israelites, they would normally have gone through a road out of Egypt that would have took them through the Philistines' country, and that would have caused them, they could have had a war, it could not have been good for them. So God led them. He was a waymaker. He led them around by the desert. It took them a different road, a longer way around. Light in the darkness. God was literally a light in the darkness. It says here, after leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. And by day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on the way. And by night, in a pillar of fire to give them light so they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. God goes before his people with a light in the darkness. He goes before them. And finally, they come to the Red Sea, and they, as you heard when Sarah was sharing, they were going, well, what have you done to us? You brought us to this big sea, and the Pharaoh and all the Egyptians are coming up behind us. What are we going to do? But God proved once again he was a miracle worker. And he parted the sea, and they went through. He made the way for the Israelites to escape out of Egypt. I'm going to show you a little story now. This is a picture of Scafell Pike in the Lake District. Well, the top left is what it normally looks like, and the bottom right is my two sons, Matt and Jack. Last August, We stayed in Ian's lovely cottage in Cockermouth, and we went walking up Scafell Pike. Now normally, about a third of the way up, there's like a stream, and it's got like stepping stones so you can step across and get across this stream. It had been a bit wet last summer, so it wasn't a stream. It was more of a waterfall, as you'll see from the picture on the bottom right. So we got to this waterfall. We thought, how are we going to get through there? And we stood there for about 10 minutes watching other people getting across. How are they doing it? Some people just went straight in, right up to the knees, soggy trousers, soggy boots. You don't want to walk up a mountain with soggy boots. And then we saw a lot of other people were taking off their boots and their socks and then carrying them. One guy, he was carrying them in his hands, he's wading across, and he stumbled, put his hands down, didn't he? Oh no, boots full of water, boots full of water. Thought, don't want to do either of those, so we basically picked up our boots, socks, took them off, put them around our necks, waded across. I'll get to the point in a minute, you'll understand. As we're getting halfway, I use walking sticks. To kind of help me, because I don't see very well, and it helps me, stops me falling over a bit, helps me kind of find my way. And as we were about halfway across, I made a rookie error. When you got walking poles with straps on them, put the straps around your hand. That is a big tip I've got for you. Put the straps around your hand. Because I got halfway across, and I hadn't done that on my right hand. The pole, the water was so fast, it pulled the pole, and it went flying down. I thought, oh, great. And I've got one pole now, and this angel appeared from behind me. Actually, it wasn't an angel. It was this young girl. She was obviously much more agile in the waterfall than I was, and she brought it to me. So help me kind of carry on my way across. And the reason I'm sharing that story is because sometimes, I'm sure the Israelites, when they were getting out of Egypt, their feet wouldn't have been perfectly dry. They'd have had a bit of squelching going across through the parted waves. And sometimes, God takes us through things, and we get our feet a little bit wet. Yeah? Sometimes he takes us through things. He promises to be with us, but sometimes things come across, life happens, or things come across that we have to get through. It reminds me of the old, some of you parents will know the story of the bear hunt, where I think it's the dad takes the kids on a bear hunt. We're all going on a bear hunt. I'm not scared. And they come to different obstacles. One's a river, and they can't get round it. They can't get under it. They can't get over it. So they have to go through it. Splish, splosh, splish, splosh. And sometimes God wants us to go through things. I don't know why, but we have to go through things. But he promises to be with us. He promises to make a way, even when there's a river in front of us. If there's a mountain in front of us, he promises to make a way for us. In Isaiah 43, verse 1 to 2, "But now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear. I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." God promises to be with us wherever we're going through. So my mouth is getting very, very dry. This is a popular phrase. A light at the end of the tunnel. I couldn't find it anywhere in my Bible, because so often, as we're looking at the pandemic, or you may have particular situations in your life where you're thinking, I can't see the way forward, I can't see what's going to happen, I can't see the end result, I'm stuck where I am, and I've got this thing in front of me, that there's some difficulty in my life, or there's something going on, I can't seem to find a way. And we're all looking for that light at the end of the tunnel, aren't we? It's a common saying, we're looking for that light. Even now we're looking, maybe thinking, where's the light at the end of all this pandemic? Where's the light at the end of the tunnel? Where's it all going to end? Where can we see the end? If you forget everything I've said tonight, just remember this one thing. God doesn't promise to be a light at the end of the tunnel. He promises to be a light in the darkness right now. That's what God wants me to say. If you forget everything else I said, please remember that. That's what God has put on my heart to say tonight. He's not a light at the end of the tunnel. He will bring us through. He's the way maker. But he is a light in our darkness now. So never, ever forget that wherever dark it may seem, and we've all had dark moments in our lives, I'm sure, and we're all not looking forward to what's going on, but he is the light in our darkness right now. Jesus also said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." That's in John 14:6. And he also said in Matthew 4:19, "Come follow me." Now, I believe when God's thinking about this, God has promised us to make a way, and we maybe have obstacles in our way that we need God to help us with, a river to go through, a mountain to get across. I don't know what it might be. But also, God also, so I believe God put in my heart that some of us need to remember that when we agree to follow him, we agree to follow him. Yeah, and sometimes we want to go our own way. I know I do. I want my way. I want my way. What way is God saying? So another challenge. What is God asking us? What is God asking you? What way does he want you to go? Is there something you need to, some of you may be thinking, God's challenging me about a direction, a change in direction in some way, in your life, in your work, or whatever it might be. What is God asking you to do? Think for a moment. What is God asking you to do? I'm gonna end talking now. I want to pray. If we could all just close our eyes, or whatever you see fit in terms of praying, and I want to lead us in a prayer. I feel that God wants me to encourage us and challenge us tonight to trust and believe in him, that he will find a way through whatever we might be facing. So I don't normally do this, but if you feel that God is, if you feel there's something in front of you that you need God to help you with, I want you to kind of indicate that in some way, not to me, but to him, to say, lift your hands or put your hands out to receive or whatever it might be, just to say, yeah, God, I'm trusting you that you are a way maker. And similarly, if you believe that God is asking you to change direction in some way, I also want you to kind of just indicate that in some way. Then I'm going to pray, if that makes sense. Lord, I just thank you that you are the ultimate way maker. Every promise you've made to us, you're going to keep. You're trustworthy, Lord. You're a miracle worker. And you are the light in our darkness, in our dark worlds. You have come and you've given us light through Jesus. And Lord, whatever situations we might be facing tonight, whether it's the thought of what's going to happen in the next few weeks, or whether we need to, you're challenging us to change direction and to follow you in some way, do something different, Lord. I just pray you give us faith, Lord. I just pray you give us a boldness to trust you and give us a faith that we don't have of ourselves. Lord, give us more faith to believe you and to trust you that you will see us through. Lord, you are sovereign over all that's going on in this world. You are sovereign and you are faithful. You're faithful to your people. And Lord, I just ask tonight that for all of us here and our families, Lord, that you will help us to believe and trust in you, that you are faithful and you are going to see us through. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the way maker. You came to show us the way to the Father and that you're with us tonight. Now, Holy Spirit, I just pray you to touch our hearts. Encourage us, strengthen us where we feel weak. Be the one who makes the way. In Jesus' name.